He's so wonderful to us saints. He gives us another opportunity to gather. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly so appreciative of your grace and your mercy and love. Oh God, how I just adore you. Pray, Father, Lord, as we've gathered here this morning. Lord, may that rejoicing and thanksgiving that, Lord, comes with the sweet Holy Spirit in our hearts. Lord, may that show forth, oh God, for what you've done for us. Lord, true thanksgiving coming forth from our lips, praising you and glorifying you. You're so wonderful to us. Lord, I pray that you would just bless everyone that's gathered this morning. Lord, our individual needs, just, Lord, give us strength for another day. We pray all this, Father, and thanking you for it. For we know, Lord, that we ask, we shall receive. In your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. Do you really love him, saints? Oh, he's so wonderful. You may be seated if you'd like. Hallelujah. Turn with me on page 105. Amen. I think this is one of my favorite songs. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Do you love him? Oh, he's so sweet. In a manger long ago, I know it's really so. A babe was born to save men from their sin. John saw him on the shore, the Lamb forevermore. Oh, Christ the crucified on Calvary. Amen. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, from Galilee.
cry, come see that man from Galilee. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, from Galilee. Oh, for he's done so very much for me. Oh, he's forgiven all my sin, praise the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee.
Amen. Has he done all that for you, saints? Hallelujah. Amen. Page 133. Amen. When he reached down his hand for me. Hallelujah.
Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way and was written in blood.
Oh, when he reached down his hand. heavenly joy. Hallelujah. Lord, I give all my life.
Amen. Give him all you have. Hallelujah.
Guide my feet, hold my hand, grant with thee I may stand. For you reached down your hand.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise his name.
Oh, when he reached down his hand, oh,
saints, are you thankful he reached down for you? Amen. When I was lost and undone. Hallelujah. All praise his name. Page 68 of the same old books. Amen. He reached down for us and he's faithful. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Hallelujah.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, joined with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence too.
Have you found him faithful? Oh, glory. Amen, saints. He's so wonderful. Pardon for sin, peace that endureth. Oh, glory. His presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today, hope for tomorrow. Oh, blessings all mine. 10,000. Oh, what a lyric, saints. But just don't even hardly even reach the half of how great he is. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Brother Luke, would you like to come up for the offering? Amen. Praise his holy name. That's the blessing, if you will.
Lord, we're so thankful for everything you've done for us, Lord. And thank you for the design you've put in our hearts.
Oh, yes.
Jesus, we pray you'll bless this service. Bless this offering.
Amen. It's worth it all to be his child. Sing that little chorus. Truly it is. It's worth it all to be his child, to serve him through each last long mile. It's worth it all to feel his power. Worth it all.
Yes.
Amen. How many have a request? Something on your heart? Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Josh, would you like to take requests this morning?
Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful for another opportunity, Lord, just gathered. Lord, to sing these songs, Lord, of revelation.
Oh,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, there's only a few chosen people on this earth, Lord, that can sing these songs and know that they're talking about us. Lord, we're just so appreciative, Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, is so true. Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, for sticking with us, Lord, through our ups and downs and all the mistakes we've made, Lord. You've been there to lead and guide, Lord. We're just so appreciative, Lord. Lord, in the healing of our bodies, Lord, when we need it, Lord. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that once again you'll meet the need on the hearts of every people here this morning. Lord, our greatest desire, Lord, is the revelation of thy word. Lord, and then all the blessings afterward, Lord, is just extra from you. Appreciate it. Lord, we ask you to bless each and every one. Lord, here this day, Lord, we give you all the thanks and the glory and the honor for everything you've done. In the precious name of Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.
Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Someone have a special song this morning? Amen. Amen. Brother, see if we've got one.
Lord, I ask for more of your love, till my cup's full and overruns. A painful desire that won't let up until your will is done. A thirst to be your prisoner. a cry to reach out in the Spirit, a passion to know His Word, to have that first love burning for the Lord. A church that's standing spotless, a church that's without sin, not a blemish in their lives, for it's Christ the same again. The desire of the true believer is to get back to that place alive. A church that's without blame. My daily prayer is to be more like Jesus. A fervent desire to please Him. A cry to reach out in the Spirit, a passion to know His Word, to have that first love burning for the
stand, if you will. Sing a little chorus. Only believe. We ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible.
Just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious, precious Lord Jesus, again, we want to thank You, first Lord, for giving us this opportunity again, and thank You again for the precious desire You place in our hearts to desire to be here and to listen to Your Word and to see that Word made manifest in our lives. Oh, what a blessing it is to have that desire. We ask now again, as we've gathered here, that You would speak to our hearts, to the Word of God. Take these words, Lord, that You placed upon our heart to read today and to exhort upon. And maybe Your Holy Spirit again place it down inside and bring a greater reality in our hearts. And help each one of us, help every one of us, Lord, to be humble enough to receive and to accept, Lord, your precious word. We thank you now again for all things, and we love you with all our heart. Just help us now and help us to yield to you above everything. In your glorious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Are you happy to be here today?
Amen.
I count it a great, great privilege. As Brother Brian would say, grand privilege. And I really do. I count it a grand privilege. So let us turn our Bibles, if you'd like to turn with me before you be seated, in honor of God's word. Let's turn to John, the fifth chapter. John, the fifth chapter, and let's read here the 17th down to the 19th verse. Amen. John 5, and begins 17th verse. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. May the Lord bless the reading his word, and you may be seated. Now again, as I said last week, you know, or maybe it's Thursday evening, I trust the Holy Ghost will make these things real in your heart. And I may do some strange things today. But you know, sometimes strange little things that happen, it sometimes causes things to register a little deeper. And if nothing else, it makes you think and meditate on it long enough that you pray and ask God to reveal to you, to make it more real in your heart. And I'm trusting it's what you're here today doing, is asking God to reveal these things to you in a greater way and make it more alive to you, as I've asked him to make it more alive to me. Amen. So we're going to, but I want you to keep in mind now what we've been saying about this love for Christ. I mean a true love, not this fake stuff that goes on today. I mean a real love. And as Jesus said, he that loveth me will keep my commandments. It's a pretty simple way of putting it, you know. And as I was saying before, you know, love is so messed up today and perverted of what people call love. They don't have a clue what love is. And it's usually most of the time just lust, flesh, and carnality anymore. But we find there is a true love for our Lord Jesus Christ, for his word. And keeping that in mind, what we brought on those and some things the prophet said, as I said, I trust that'll be fresh in your heart this morning. But we'll tie a little message this morning, doing nothing without Jesus Christ. And I want to, as I read this scripture, and the prophet oftentimes when he'd speak of this scripture, as you know, is what I'm going to say, he'd often say that he would speak the scripture and said, our Lord Jesus said himself, I can do nothing in myself, you know, and that's truly what he's saying here, you know, I can do nothing in myself. And I was thinking about that as I was praying and waiting on the Lord, just and in this little series we've been in, how that if the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, had that attitude and that longing, that type of desire, how much more should we? And you think, and you say, well, that was for our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it was for us too, to have that same desire, that same ambition, that we will do nothing without him. Now, that it's something that it's said many times, I've said it many times, we hear the prophets say it. But again, in just facing reality, we haven't come to the reality of it yet. It's not living like our Lord Jesus Christ lived it. So we fall short. So There's only one way to get there, the place he wants us to be, and that's through the Holy Spirit revealing the Word to us. Because intellectually we know it. We know our Lord Jesus said that. We know the prophet talked about it. But do we and can we still do just anything that comes along on our own? Not even expect God to be in the picture. Make our own decisions. And do things that we think, well, that's just what I want to do. I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going to go, I'll just use this straight. I want to go to the ball game. I'm just going to go to the ball game. I don't care what the Lord says. I ain't even going to ask him. And that, in reality, fact check is, it doesn't even enter the mind to seek him. You know? But everything that our Lord Jesus would do, it always had to be the will of the Father. Everything. Does it make us be different because we're not Jesus Christ himself? I mean, here on this life in 2019, does that make it different for us? It's not supposed to. No. Now, people think they can, and people don't care if they do, and whether they are really living for Jesus Christ or living for themselves. But that's happening so terribly today that people claim to be Christians and they still just live for themselves. But where is the people that is really led by the Word of God? I mean, every decision they make, they can back it up with that Word. I mean, 100%. Who is that people? Where is that people? In reality, as I say many times, reality. It's real. It really happens. It's fulfilled. It's manifested. You see? Where is that people? I'd like to, as I said, as we go into these things, and first before I go on, I will go back to a quote I read last Thursday night again, and just to set you up for it. But the prophet said in Christ, Mr. God revealed, secondly, to have the preeminence, again, he's speaking about the threefold purpose. He said, secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, that is his bride, that he might live in people. Okay, now, I really believe, at least from what I see and understand, whoever he ever lived in, he had the preeminence of. They'd done what he wanted done. And we can look at a perfect example of our prophet that God gave us. He had the preeminence of that man. But if we got the attitude and the false understanding, well, he was a prophet. Truly, there's things God does through a prophet he will never do through you. But that does not annul the word of him having the preeminence of you, because you're not a prophet. Though we want to make that excuse that you don't have to have this preeminence because I'm not a prophet. Or we're sure missing something somewhere. Amen. If we think that way. And if we think our lives does not have to be that close of a walk with God just because we're not a prophet. Somebody's really fooled you. Somebody's given you a false understanding. A false interpretation of the Word. You see? Because it's plainly in the Word. If you're bride, you will be under his preeminence. You'll be under his control. He will lead you. He will guide you. In all truth and righteousness, it's the Word of God. You see? So, what is our understanding of these things? And as I read the scripture, what we read, and you know what our Lord Jesus said there, again, does it apply to me today? I'll tell you, we'll just jump ahead a little bit and read something here real quick. Again, this is in the church age book that we don't throw away. That we don't say that it's no good. It's a reality and it's by the Holy Ghost. Okay? And this is again where the prophet was told. The Holy Spirit told him to pick up his pen and write. So it is from the Holy Ghost. Is that right? You really believe that? I do. And that's why I stand on it. If I didn't really believe it, I'm not like a lot of people in this message. If there's things in this message I don't believe and I don't think it's right, I would never give it the time of day. I wouldn't even read from it. But you got all these people that say they're believers and they'll not believe certain things. Why do they even fall on it? They're lost anyway. See? So why would he even mess with it? You see? That's something that just really puzzles me sometimes. Yet I understand what God said about it. I understand what the prophet said about it. But it's just almost still hard to believe. I mean, if you don't believe it, why even give it the time of the day? You know? But I believe it. And I give my life to it. And if it's wrong, I'm really deceived, friends. I'm really wrong. But I don't believe I am at all. No. But in this, where the Holy Spirit told him, I'm just not going to read it all, just a portion of it. But I want you to pay attention now. The members of the virgin bride will love him. Now, do you believe you're one of them that he's talking about? We'll love him. Now, we've talked about what really loving him really is. It's not just some kind of infatuation or maybe the Holy Spirit fell one night and you just felt all happy and all, and all of a sudden you think you really love God. No, it goes a lot further than that, you see. He said the members of the virgin bride will love him and they will have his potentials, for he is their head. We talked a little bit about that Thursday night. He is their head, and all power belongs to him. Yeah. They are subject to him. Now, I want you to sit there and say, is this me? Brother Steve's up there reading this, and he's telling all about me, what's happening in my life. Or do I have to sit there and say, nope, that's not me yet. It's not me yet. What am I going to do? They are subject to him as the members of our bodies are subject to our heads. Now, just think of the simplicity of that, how it happens. How easily a member moves because my thought came. Move my hand. Stomp my foot. That foot, the member of the head, just did it. It didn't sit there, and the foot didn't sit there and try to shake and try to, oh, come on, you got to move, you got to stomp, you got to go up and down. No, it just did it because it was so subject to the head. Okay? So easily, so simple, no struggle, just did it. We're going to talk about reality. Okay? Not want to be's, not hope to be's. Not think to be's, but in reality are the Word made manifest. They are subject to him as the members of our bodies are subject to our heads. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. Say, okay, well, Brother Steve, that was the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen what he says. Am I going to believe this is the Holy Ghost that told that prophet to pick up his pen and write? Or am I just think, oh, that's some wild ideas he had. He had too much meat to eat before he went to bed the night before. Huh? John 5:19, this harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. Now tell me, it isn't for us. That we do nothing. Unless this word shows us first. But do we even take the time of day? If maybe something we're not real sure if the Lord would please the Lord or be according to the Word of God, that we'd even take the time to search it and make sure that's what God wants. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. He shows her his word. He's showing you again today. See? He's bringing it back to your mind. He shows her his word of life. His word of life. She receives it. Well, she's filled with the Holy Ghost. She receives it. She never doubts it. Have you ever sit there and when I was reading from these quotes or the scripture and you sit there and doubted it? If you did, you'd better climb before it's too late. Amen. But she never doubts it. Never. Therefore nothing, now notice what goes with this, which eventually is what we're going to get into. Nothing can harm her. not even death. Wow. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret of this. The word is in the bride as it was in Mary. Keep that in mind. The word is in the bride as it was in Mary. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. Oh. She performs the command of the word in his name, for she has, thus saith the Lord. Yes, that word is her, thus saith the Lord, friends. See? Then the word is quickened. It just don't sit there. And she says, I got the word. I know the word. No, the word is then quickened. What's quickened? It's made alive. It is quickened by the Spirit and it comes to pass. Do you believe today, sitting here, that this word will come to pass? We do nothing unless the word tells us to do it. Do we believe that? Oh my. You better believe it. Because that's the biggest problem in the bride today. She is not yielding to this. Universal. If she would do this and let this come to pass in her life, there'd be a rapture, friends. We'd get out of here. But there's too many distractions. She hasn't yet really come to a true prisonership. Like she needs to. Like a seed that is planted and watered, it comes to full harvest. Oh, you don't have to worry about it coming to full harvest. It comes to full harvest. Serving its purpose. That's what we were born for. That's what we were sent here for. For this very reason right here. Not to have our jobs that we've got, not to have our homes and our children and all that. We come here for this purpose, to receive the word and that word live through us. That he could express himself. That's why we were born in this life. All the other things just go with it. You see? Those in the bride do only his will. Get that? No one can make them do otherwise. I don't care how many friends they got that coaxes them to go over here to do this or get involved in that. No. It don't make no difference. Nobody can make them do otherwise. Somebody that's really a true prisoner and really loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody can talk them out of anything but what God's word said. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works and fulfilling his own word. They know it has to be God because they know they can't do it. They know what it was like before. They've tried before and it didn't work. They couldn't hold to the word. They couldn't overcome before. But now by Christ being in them, now they're the overcomer. Circumstance comes up and it's overcome. It's done. Another fiery test comes. It's overcome. Just keeps on pressing. Keeps on going. Moving up. Climbing. Growing. His calves in the stall. Constantly moving. He did not complete all his work while in his earthly ministry. So now he works in and through the bride. Oh, look at that unison. My. We know he fulfilled exactly what the scripture spoke of him to do, right? Did he not? Amen. Then if he's in us, will not it happen again? Yes. But people are making him to be some weak, wishy-washy thing that can't do nothing right. Oh, yeah. But I'm going to tell you what, this Jesus Christ of being in you, it'll get it done right. And be done exactly the way he wants it done. You see? She knows that, for it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must do. Now do. But he will now fulfill through the bride. He will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. Here we are, brother. This work, it was left here for this specific time. Keep in mind. All right, now, I'm going to go into the message, a prisoner. And I'm going to do something that may seem a little silly today. But I've done different silly little things before. And oftentimes you'll hear some of the people say, you know, I've never seen that before until you really, that really struck my heart. You know? Y'all remember the little, let's see if it's still in here. Y'all remember that? Yeah, just a can of paint, a mix. It's actually a mixing tent. And what could you get out of that in a message? But I brought it to you. And some of you, it made you really stop and think. And, oh, yeah, I see what it's talking about. I understand that. But sometimes it's the simple things in life. Remember the buckeye seed? And I had one broke open, and I showed you, and you couldn't see no life in that whatsoever. But it was there. But you couldn't see it with your eye. But it was there. I don't care what you thought, what you said, it was there. Couldn't see it. Well, now I need somebody to help me this morning on this next one. And the fella I pick, I help you out, Paul, once in a while. Now you can help me out. Yeah. Look what I'm going to do to you. I spoke about this a little bit Thursday night. Okay. I want you to put them gloves on because I don't want to hurt you. You know, and sometimes this will make you remember something. Think about it. What we're going to do to old Paul, poor Paul. Now, your hands ain't that big. They're just sweaty, ain't they? But like I said, I don't want the tape to hurt you. I was going to bring Gorilla tape, but I didn't want to take time to have to take it back off. Like I say, just simple things, but sometimes you got to do things where even children understand. Now, I want you to put one hand up here a little further. That hand behind that one. And keep it close to the knot. Okay, just hold it there for a little bit. Now, I don't want you to try to act like some tough man, okay? Or I would have brought the drill and tape. Okay. Now, I'll tell you what. See if that's long enough you go back here and sit down. This is the rope I tie my cow up to give it shots. All righty. Let me see if it works. Yeah, that works good. You can't let go of it, can you? You can't open your hands, can you? It's got the knot at the bottom? Okay, that's what we want. All right. Okay, here we go now. Now listen to what the prophet's saying. We'll read here in Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ. I just want you to think about some things. And ask the Holy Spirit to make it real. Okay? And it's kind of strange because it's Paul sitting there. Amen. That's good. All right, so he said, it expressed one time where Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is something like a man buying pearls. He said when he finds that great pearl, he sells all that he has to get that one. He said, that's the way here. He said, you have an intellectual conception. Now listen to what he said. You have an intellectual conception. You have a theological experience. But when it comes to a time when you really find the real thing of what we're talking about today, what are you saying in there? You might have an intellectual conception. You might have a theological experience. But until it's made real, friends, you can tell me all about it. We can preach about it. We can go through life every day thinking we know about it. But that still ain't it. Remember, the Word said faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. So trusting that each one of us has come here today again, trusting that we've called on God for revelation. Or did we just come here today? Well, you know, Brother Steve's going to read something out of the prophet's message, and it's been said many times, and this, that, and blah, blah, blah. If that's the way you came, you ain't going to get nothing. Your desire is no more for getting deeper in God than anything because you think you got it all. And that's the big problem in the message believers too. They think they got it all, so they miss these simple things. The things that will control them and bring them under submission to the Word of God. And that's why we had all the rat race and mess and carnality going on in the believers today. You see? Don't you take it off now, Paul. All right, let's go on. And he says, you have an intellectual conception, you have a theological experience, but when it comes to a time that when you really find the real thing, you just sell out everything else and you close yourself into this. Paul knew what it was. He found out that he was harnessed to something. Now, I didn't bring a harness today because it's too much bother, so I've done it this way. I had a harness I could have brought, but I don't think Paul would like to wear a harness. All right, he says here, and Paul knew that after this experience, well, let's back up a little bit, I don't want to miss something. Paul knew that he'd found out that he was harnessed to something. He said, like, put a horse in a harness. He said, it's to pull something. And Paul knew after this experience, 3 years and a half typing, the experience he had with the Bible, he realized that God had chosen him and had harnessed him by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to keep in mind before I go too much further, we're going to type the tape as love. Okay? Now, don't go getting in your mind, both Steve saying loves the experience of having the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying that at all, by no means. But just listen to what we're going to say. We're going to type the tape. It's going to represent love. The rope is going to be the Word of God. And me pulling on the rope, me, is going to represent the Holy Spirit. Okay? So just kind of keep that in mind. He says here, see, he realized God had chosen him. And he says he was harnessed by the Holy Spirit. And the experience that he had to pull the gospel in the presence of the Gentiles, see, the Spirit itself harnessed him. Wasn't I the one that harnessed him? I just didn't type. Okay? Now, I harnessed him, and I taped him up. He can't move his hands to even get away from that rope. The rope can't pass through because I harnessed him. He didn't harness himself. No, he couldn't have done that. He couldn't have, with only two hands, and I've had an extra pair of hands, he might have been able to wrap two of them up. But he only had two hands, and I wrapped them all up to where he couldn't have done it. He couldn't have done that with his mouth or anything because he couldn't have went clear around and all this, that, and the other. All right? He says here, and today, as servants of Christ, we become harnessed, hooked up. We can't go. We're logged in with it. Harnessed to the Word. Isn't he harnessed? The rope represents the Word. He's harnessed to the Word now, right? Okay. He says here, no matter what anyone else, let's back up. He says, see, there's something about it that you just can't get away from it. He's harnessed to the Word, and there's just no way you can get away from it. No. Now, that tape bearer he might be able to with his teeth, but with duct tape, that Gorilla duct tape, I'm sure he wouldn't be able to. He might chew and chew and chew until he chews his fingers off practically, but he ain't going to get away from it. And he might have his tongue messed up and lift up, pretty messed up if he tried to. So there's no way he can get away from that. Now he's in a pickle. Yeah. He can't get away. He's harnessed up to that rope, the Word of God, and he can't get away from it. Okay? He says, you've been yoked up with it by the Holy Ghost. It has yoked you, the Holy Ghost has yoked you to the Word. Yeah. No matter what anyone else says, it's the Word. That's always, he said, that's always harnessed up with it, put in a yoke with it, he's saying here, to the Word by the Spirit. He has harnessed him, see? He had learned on the backside of Arabian desert when all this former things and experiences and ambition that he had been, and had been stripped off, those things had been stripped off from him. See, he had ambitions at one time to kill the Christians or to jail them and just put them away. You know, they're just nonsense. Get rid of it. But all those ambitions had changed. Now, he'd been harnessed to something different that he couldn't get away from. Okay? He said he'd learned on the backside of the Arabian desert there when all these former things, experience, ambition, he had been stripped away from those things. And that's where we find today that we must be stripped first. I just stripped Paul from what he was able to do on his own. He might have thought, I'm going to scratch my ear because my ear itches. He can't do it. Not with them hands. He's got them tied up. He might think, I'm going to take my shoe off. He ain't going to take his shoe off. No. He's bound. Amen. By love. The tape's love. Not being forced into it, but he's bound by love. And people don't want to be stripped. No. They don't want to be stripped. That's a big problem. People want too much say-so of what they want to do in life and still claim they're believers and even follow this message and read what the prophet said and still want to do what they want to do. Way too much of it. It's not the mindset and understanding in the mind of Christ in a way that, Lord, what's your will for me today? Is this your will, Lord, that I go over here? Is this person's want me to go over here? Is it your will I do this, Lord? Or is there something here that I should be very careful of? You know? Constantly. Now, if I release Paul, he could go and, well, you know, I've heard the word say this before, but I think it's all right for me. And just go do it. When maybe it wasn't. You see? He says here, see, people don't want to be stripped. The Methodist brother wants to hold to a little bit of his Methodist teaching. The Baptist brother wants to hold his little bit of Baptist teaching. I'll tell you what, there's people in this message that want to hold to their past pastor's teaching or somebody else that ain't right. But they want to hold to that. You know? You better watch out. Yeah. But you've got to absolutely be stripped of everything. Yeah, everything. And just born again fresh. And take up from there and let the Holy Spirit lead. Now, if I'm going to lead, now watch Paul's arms. Yeah. What if I want him to go even further? Oh. There wasn't no fight in him, was there? Nope. What if I want him to come closer to me? Yes, Lord. I'm fastened to something I can't get away from. He's fastened. He can't get away from it. See? The Holy Spirit with the Word is just pulling. And the Holy Spirit always uses the Word. Always. Amen. Every time. It don't use something you have to imagine. It don't use something you can't find. Just go back to the Word. Every time. And it'll lead you. But does people want to use that Word do that? It's a proven fact. Many people, you can sit down, brother, for a minute. I'll get it off here in a little bit. I don't want you to get too sweaty there. But he says here, but then let you, he says, you take up from there and let the Holy Spirit lead. You can't say, well, my daddy said, when we got in and went into church, he shook hands with the pastor. He's a good, loyal member now. That might have been all right for his race, but this is another race. Now we must come back to the Bible times for this. The priest was harnessed too. But he was harnessed to the wrong thing, friends. And he was religious. But you see, they had come over into another dispensation. They failed to strip off their old harness and put on a new harness. And the same thing we find today, we did come through a denominational age, as we proved through the church ages, the Bible, and so forth. But we come now to a free age where the Holy Spirit himself comes down and vindicates himself. Did not he do that? It still does. And makes himself known, makes every promise that he promised come to pass. Now, did he quit making things come to pass because the prophet passed off the sea? No, by no means. Oh my, he says, what a great time. He's seeing something. Can we see the same thing? And he knew that another thing, he knew he could not go to places. Oh, he could not go to places. Now he's bringing this for us, friends, to understand these things. And he's using Paul as an example. Paul couldn't just do anything he wanted to do. He was harnessed. You see, it's just like now. I've got Paul here fastened up. You know, he might think, well, praise God, I'm just going to get up and walk out. No, because if he'd tried to, I'm going to grab that rope and he ain't going nowhere. Amen. And I'll have the advantage because by the way he's fastened and out the end of his hands when the poles and his arms stretch out like that, I can catch him off balance real easy and just flop him right over. No problem. He might fall in the mud puddle. But guess who's going to help him back up? The Holy Spirit's going to grab hold of it, take the word and pick him right back up again. Come on, son. Come on. You're going to go. You're going to go with me. You're going to go. Harnessed. Well, there's trials, tests, tribulations, whatever's going on, friends. He's the leadership. Oh, my. You don't have to worry. If you come to that place, you're really a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Really. In reality. Not talk about it and say, I agree with it and say amen to it only and all that, but really happens in your life. Why? Maybe somebody, let's back up. He knew he could go places that, he said, but being harnessed to it, that he would not, you see. That he did, he said, if he wanted to go, he knew that his ambition drawed him amongst brethren where he was invited to come, and yet it was pressed in the spirit to do something else. He was not his own. As long as I got Paul fastened up like that, he's not his own. No. I've got him fastened up, and he ain't going to do nothing but what I let him do. Yeah. If I want to grab hold of the rope and pull him outside and bring him back in, he's just going to have to go. You see? But there's something that causes him to get up and follow. It's that love that he's taped up with, which eventually we'll get back to. All right? What time is it getting to be? I'm going to have to hurry. I haven't gotten very far yet. He says here, he's pressed in spirit, something else. We read that. He said, and he knew, another thing, he knew he could not go to places. I guess we read that. Oh, he says, God, make us prisoners like that from our own selfish ambition. How many selfish ambitions do we have? We just do what we want to do, and we don't even think about whether it's going to please God at the end or not. We just go do it. And then if it didn't please God and something went wrong, then we had to say, oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Why not go to the main source and find out first? You see? He says, oh, God, make us prisoners like that from our own selfish ambition, from our own judgments, and our own better way of living. Yeah. To be a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I think that was a great statement he said. That he said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And remember, he is the Word. No matter what anyone else thinks, it's the Word. If you're a prisoner to the Word, no denomination can sway you from it. It's the Word. You're a prisoner to it, that's all. You just, he says, and you must act the way it acts. One more thing, and I'll let you go, Paul. It must act the way it acts. Now, the Lord's going to act to raise his arms up. His arms came up, didn't it? Because that's the way it's acting, the Word is. I want it to go down. I want it to go to his right. I want to go to his left. I want to stand up. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's how simple it is. If the Holy Ghost really gets hold of your life and reveals this to you, you won't want to make a step without that Word. But we want to make too many steps. You can come up here, brother, and we'll take it off of you. It's got to be sweaty. But we always want to make too many steps without first seeking the will of God. And then we end up making our mistakes and do things wrong that we shouldn't do, and we may hurt people, and we may say things we shouldn't say that we're sorry for saying, and all these different things. And then what in turn is the outcome? People don't see Jesus Christ living in you. They see a carnal human being claiming to be a believer that's supposed to be the almighty super people. And what do they see? Hypocrites. Hypocrites. Yeah. But if we can only get a reality of this, and it only comes by the Holy Ghost. Me doing all these little things still ain't going to do it, friends. But only it's going to take the Holy Ghost to make it alive to you. You see. I just did little things like this. I was sitting in my study and it came to my mind. I thought, where am I going to get the big rope? Where am I going to get the tape? And I thought, it's out there in the garage somewhere, out in the building. And I thought, is this what you want, Lord? And maybe this will be one little simple thing that will make you think. And you'll pray about it more. And you'll see how important it is. And what really it is to be led by the Spirit of God. You'll have no say-so, friends. He's in the control seat. You'll do what he says. And it's done by a love that's in your heart to do what he says. Not you'll have to force yourself. God don't, as I said here a while back, God does not expect people to serve him with no love in their heart for him. He'll put in your heart what it takes to love him and serve him. That's one of the sweet gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift God gives you to love him, serve him, obey him. You see? All right? I'll try to close for this morning. I don't want to hold you too long. But if I can just get something to stick in your mind for a little bit, at least you'll pray about it. And you'll see that, is this really real, my heart? Or do I just go do anything I want to do and just live any kind of life I want to and think it's I'm a Christian and think I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, my. But our prophet in this message gives us so many examples to show. Let me hurry up quickly. Just a few more things here. Is your hand okay, brother? All right, let's make sure. If not, we'll pamper it a little bit and rub it for you. Amen. All right. He says, now, he could go to a certain place that he wanted. He said he could not go to a certain places that he wanted. Because why? The Spirit forbade him. Is there ever anything in your life that maybe you was getting ready to do, but the Holy Spirit forbade you to do it? Have you had that experience? Things you really wanted to do, you thought, boy, this would be nice to do, and this would be fun, or this would be that, and this, that, and the other. But just something on the inside just said, no. And you go in and pray about it, and then maybe he'll give you a quote. Lay upon your a quote or a scripture or something. Okay, Lord, that's okay. I'm fine with it. I'm fine. Not my will, but thine be done. You know, I want you to have the preeminence of my life. Or we still get that selfish, ambitious way about us, that we just, I'm going to do it anyway. I've seen that over the years, friends, preaching this gospel. I've heard it come from people's mouths. I don't care what that preacher says, I'm going to do it anyway. Yeah. When they should be saying, Lord, your word says this, I ain't going to do it. I don't want that in my life. You know, that's like I've, over the years, made people just think they can just drive over the speed limit. I mentioned many times, just drive. Brother Branham himself said, when a man is caught speeding, he ought to be put in a prison minimum 10 years for a premeditated murder. Oh. And think you don't have to care about it. And here you're in an automobile that maybe weighs anything from 4,000 pounds to maybe 6,000, 7,000 pounds and taking that thing 70 miles an hour down the road and maybe you think you can run 80 or 90 and that's like a big bullet going down the road. And if somebody happens to pull out in front of you, it's history. Who's going to be at fault? Yeah, maybe the person pulled out, but maybe he's coming so fast he didn't see you. But the other thing is when you went over that speed limit, look out. That's one of them things people just don't care. I don't want to be no prisoner. I don't care what you say. But I'm going to tell you what, if you was a prisoner, There's going to be something on the inside of that old rope hooked to you, friends, and you ain't going to do nothing other than what God allows you to do. Amen. If you're a real prisoner, you see. I hope something's sinking in somebody's hearts, you see. For the souls of man shall be saved through the foolishness of preaching. How much more foolish can you see than that? You know? But the souls of man shall be saved through the foolishness of preaching. But the Spirit would forbid him. Now, does that clearly state and prove that Paul was a prisoner? Congregation says amen. A prisoner to Jesus Christ, harnessed to his word by the Spirit. He says, oh my, I like that. I hope that's the way we all feel about that. Oh, I like that. Yes. He was bound. He was bound by a chain. I had Paul bound by a rope this morning. And by fetters of love. Oh, what that's going to turn into if you'll just listen. That, Brother Steve? Yes. It's going to turn into something? Oh, yes. Something beautiful. Something wonderful. He was bound by a chain, by fetters of love, to do the will of God. And that only, he says. Have we reached that place? Amen. Have we reached that place in our life as an individual? He was a prisoner. He was in fetters of love. He was in a yoke with Christ. He could yoke up with nothing else. He was yoked with him, and where the lead went, that's where he had to go. Where the lead went, that's where he had to go. I like that. He says, regardless how green the pasture was. You know, you always talk about when the horse gets out, the cow gets out, oh, the pasture's always greener on the other side, and they're trying to get out, you know, get to it. But regardless how greener the pasture is on the other side, friends. It ain't about making yourself happier. It ain't about making something easier for you. It's all about pleasing my Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. You see? Regardless how green the pasture was, here on the side or that side, he had to go the way the leader of the yoke went. What if he takes you through a mud puddle and you trip and fall and you drag... drags your face right through the mud. Huh? One thing about it, if he lets it happen, and through the trying of our faith, he's surely the one that'll lift you back up out of the mud. And he'll clean you all off again with the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Everything will be fine. Just follow him. He knows best. He knows how to get you in. He knows just how to do it. He knows all about it. In closing, won't you sisters come up, please? Oh, I thought I better move this. I'm on a big trip. Amen. If old Shadow knew I was using a rope for something like this, she'd be proud of me. Amen. All right. Oh, tonight, if we as Branham Tabernacle could only become prisoners. If only we this morning at the Capstone Life Tabernacle could become prisoners. Really. To our own selfish being, to our own ambition. Oh, hallelujah. That if we could completely surrender ourselves and be yoked to Him. No matter what the rest of the world thinks or what the rest of the world does, we're yoked with fetters of love. We are prisoners. My feet are so yoked to Christ it won't dance. My eyes are so yoked to Christ till when I see these modern striptease on the street, it turns my head. My heart is so yoked in love to him till I can't have love for the world anymore. My will is so yoked to him till I don't even know now what my ambitions are. Just wherever you lead, Lord, I'll follow. Amen. I'll be a prisoner. Paul was correctly a prisoner, he was. He wasn't making any wrong statement. He was trained by the Holy Ghost. Again, to wait on what? The Word. Now, he had been trained one way, but God had trained him another way. He was trained by the Holy Spirit to wait upon the Lord, no matter what his ambitions was. Now, I'm going to help by the Holy Spirit show you something. Let's just take for instance. One day, Paul and Silas coming down the street. Y'all know it, scripture. I'll just read it real quickly. Come to a certain city, a certain place where they was holding a revival, and a little demon-possessed girl kept following him, crying out after him. And no doubt what Paul knowed that he had the authority as an apostle to rebuke that evil spirit out of that woman. But did you notice he waited? Day after day, until all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "This is the hour." Then he said, "Thou spirit, come out of her." He knew to wait on the Lord. And there's where so many people today bring a reproach on the Word. Isn't that true? It's so true. It's where so many people today bring a reproach on the very purpose we've been sent here for. And Jesus Christ is to live through us. They go out with an ambition. And how many revivals has been left flat because of the thing like that? Because the evangelists don't wait to see what the Lord has got to say. Just like they still do today. They don't wait. Look at the ministers that don't wait. They just get, somebody calls them up and say, "Hey, will you come preach to me?" "Why, sure, I'm right there for it," regardless of what's going on or what God wants. It might be a big church over here, you know, that's got 300 or 400 people, and they can get more money there, they're thinking in their mind. But here's a little church over here that really needs help. Maybe only have 2-3 families in it. I ain't going there. Ain't enough money in it for me. Oh, my. Some of them say, "Come over here." They go right now because the association said, "Go." And the Holy Spirit would say something different, though. Yet the ambition of the man to become the state presbyter or something another, or some elder or some bishop or something would pull him, "You must go." And yet, he knows better. The Holy Spirit's saying, "Go here." See, he's yoked to his organization. He's a prisoner to the organization. But if he's yoked to Christ, he's led by the Holy Ghost. He's yoked, a prisoner. Don't make any difference what anybody else says or anything says. It says a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He hears only the voice of God, and he speaks only when it comes out. He says nothing. Hallelujah. I'll stop there. I love this word. As I said earlier, I trust that something has been said that will help you along the way, amen, to understand greater what God is looking for. And what God promised would happen. Lord, help me to be one of them. Amen. Lord, break me, remake me, whatever it may take. But let me be one of them. I'll be a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I might be an oddball. I might seem crazy to people. And might not be well fellowship with and all them kind of things. But it's whatever he wants. Amen. I'm here to do the will of the Father. Amen. I love him. Let's all stand. Praise his name. Let's just sing a little chorus. "Where he leads me, I will follow." Amen. Brother Timothy, you come dismiss us. "Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me,
Sing this little chorus too on page 74 if you need the words, but Spirit of the Living God.
Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me.
Father, as we've come to the close of another service, Lord, that's the desire of our heart. As Lord, as we've heard, sat here this morning and heard the word, and Lord, felt you prick our hearts, Lord, to a closer walk with thee. Lord, we've heard it talked about for a long time, Lord, of being a prisoner, Lord, being led of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, is it a reality in each of our lives like it ought to be? And Lord, I think by the way the word you've renewed our minds to, Lord, each one of us, Lord, has to weigh our own selves and answer that question to in our own mind, Lord. Am I as yielded to the Holy Spirit as I should be? Does that word make my every move? Does that word allow everything that I do? And Lord, that's what brings us to, as we sing the little song, Where You Lead Us, Lord, We'll Follow. And Lord, this little song, Lord, mold us and fill us. Lord, whatever it takes for our wills to break, Lord, that you could have the full preeminence in our lives. Lord, that's what we want. And Lord, as our brother mentioned this as he was beginning to preach, Lord, if you don't reveal it to our hearts, Lord, it can never be the way that you want it done. But Lord, we come today and humbly ask you, Lord, to take these precious words and to place them deep into our heart. And Lord, to grant us revelation of these things, Lord, that it would be a greater reality into us. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we've had to have been here. And Lord, we just ask a special blessing on each and every one that could be here, Lord, those that couldn't. That Lord, this precious word would do a work in our hearts. For Lord, that's why we come today. And Lord, we're so thankful for each word you've allotted to us, Lord, for the moving of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and the things that we feel drawn in our heart. And Lord, we ask it to your glory and your honor. Be with those that have to travel, Lord, as they leave. Keep them safe upon the highways, Lord, and bring them back to us, Lord, at the next appointed time. And we'll never fail to see that you receive the glory and the honor for all things. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Oh, isn't he wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad you was able to be here today?
Yes.
Oh, I thank God for his precious word. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. I'll say amen to Jesus as we leave. I'll say amen to Jesus. Amen all the time. Amen in sorrow. For me, so I'll just say.